Let's stand together. Bow our heads as we open the service. Dear Jesus, Father, we do appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for once again, Lord, stirring our hearts, drawing us to this little place that we can hear you speak to us. Father, you prepared a word for us. Lord, you looked in our hearts, you know our lives, you know our steps, and you know what we need, Father, in this late, dark hour. So, Father, I pray that you would just visit with everyone that's here, Lord, or listening in. Strengthen us, just encourage us, Lord, whatever we need. We look to you and lean on you. Thank you, Lord. Bless this few songs you've laid on my heart, Lord, that would clear our hearts and our minds, Father, that may be an open ground for you to deal with. Lord, we ask all this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Turn with me in our capstone books. And page 68, I saw the light. Praise his name.
I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw.
Up. Bless.
talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. What all is He to you, saints?
Yes.
Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Amen. How many have someone on your heart you'd like to take before Him? Amen. Just hold on your heart as we bow our heads. Precious Jesus. Lord, how good You are to us. Father, if saving us is all You did for us, and we had to suffer every moment of our lives in this earth, Lord, it would be worth it all. But then, Lord, You, as a good parent, You know what we need, and You guide us and direct us, keep our feet on the rock. Lord, just, Father, we may go through tests and trials, but Lord, all things work together for good. Lord, You'll be preparing us for something, maybe a trial we're getting ready to go through, preparing us. Lord, You speak Your word and reveal it to us, ever mindful of us. Lord, it just goes beyond understanding, at least in my puny mind. Your grace that You've shown to me, and I know each and every one feels the same way. Father, Lord, the needs on the people's hearts tonight, Father, just meet them abundantly, my prayer. Lord, we may give You glory and honor and praise. Lord, for without You, we're nothing. Lord, Your mercy, Lord, it's just overwhelming. We appreciate You, everything You do for us. Lord, bless the remainder of the service. May You get the glory in everything. Lord, we attentively wait on You. We ask all this in Your precious name. Let's all stand then. Sing the chorus, Only Believe, and ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe.
aren't you happy to be out this evening? Thank the Lord for His precious word and for the moving of His Holy Spirit, and thank Him for the opportunity to be able to come together with saints of like precious faith and gather around His word and draw encouragement, draw strength, and renew our minds to the things that have been left for us, and just praying that tonight something will be said to strengthen us, encourage us, keep us pressing for that mark. Amen. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before You now and just ask, Lord, that as we open up the pages of this precious Bible, Lord, and renew our minds to these scriptures and these quotes, that, Lord, through the foolishness of preaching, Lord, and renewing our hearts, that, Lord, You would take these things and maybe dip it into our hearts in a special way. For, Lord, You know all things. Lord, You know where we need strengthened. You know where we may need a pat on the back, Lord, for encouragement. Lord, You know all things. And Father, we just want to yield ourselves to You for service now. We ask Your blessings upon Your word, Lord, and ask You to prepare our hearts to receive. And we'll never fail to give You the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. While you're still standing, we'll turn over to 1 Corinthians and read a verse of Scripture. And you can be seated. Just a little short text this evening and things that we've heard many times, but just praying in my, you know, every time we get up with God's Word, every time, it don't matter, God has a way of, each of us are different, so we might present it in a little different manner or read it in a different way, that it just helps and works along the way. God knows all about it. So just praying that it may not be something deep and may not be a big long sermon, but may we listen to what God has said, and maybe it'll just touch our hearts along this evening. But in 1 Corinthians, in the 9th chapter, and let's read that 24th verse. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. May the Lord bless you in His word, and you may be seated. Amen. As Paul used this scripture to express it here, and if you want to turn over to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, we'll just catch this piece up to go with it. But in Philippians 3 and the 14th verse, he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And you know, as you look at Paul's life and how he was, where he came from, as we speaking last Thursday night, talking about sacrifice and the things that, how Paul had to forget all he knew and go down into Arabia. But he come out of there with a desire burning in his heart. He had found a course, and he had found a place, that a drive that was within him to press and to reach this goal. And he saw this goal before him, and how it became his all. It became an ultimate. That's all he could focus on. That's all he could see. And how it should really truly be for us as well, as we have set out and felt that call in our hearts and just came to this place to where we've realized God has called us and for a purpose and set us aside. And many of us have walked many different paths, but here we are tonight, still gathered here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a desire drawing us and pulling us, still motivating us for a course that we've been set on. And I want you to think about that as we, you know, as when you think about a race, as Paul was using a race, everybody that enters that race normally enters it for a few reasons. There's normally a grand prize at the end of that race, but there also a lot of fame comes with it, a lot of things. So you see in the natural, when you see people enter these races, they're really passionate about it, and they really, it's all they want to talk about leading up to it. They're getting ready for it. They prep, and they do all kinds of exercises and different things to build themselves up for that. And how it ought to be for us as we see this great race that we're in and what we're being prepared for, and that we see that finish line coming into view, how much more our focus should be on prepping and strengthening and pulling on our reserves, all we have to finish this race. And to see and to keep our hearts and our eyes focused where we're running and what we're running to. You know, so many people, as we read the quote, you know, everybody goes to church and everybody wants to be a Christian anymore. And you just see everybody says they're a Christian, and it's all throughout the land. But God said there would be a special little people, a little bride. And he said that she would be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and word upon word. And she'd be molded in his character and his image. And how we see that being the focus of our drive. That should be our drive. That's our goal that we see is set before us. And as you think about these things, and it's easy as you go through life, or there's all kinds of situations on every hand and all kinds of obstacles that loom in the way. And how it just seems like there's always something to try to deter us, to keep us from reaching the purpose, the goal we're striving for. But how our focus should be so centered and so drawn to this precious word. And, you know, sometimes it seems like so many let so many little things distract them and draw their attention away from what God has drawn them to. You know, each one of us, we can look back down through our lives and we can see the paths we've walked. We can see where we was. We can see where we've been. We can see the desires that God has placed in our heart, that never-ending drive for Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham expressed it. He said, when that heart goes to hungering for God, there is nothing can satisfy that but to find God. And to find his word, his purpose, his goal in life. And by God's grace, before this world was formed, he put that little gene down in a special elected few. That no matter how old they were, when they could come into this world, that representation of predestination was already there. And it may have not come to full light till they got to a certain age or somewhere along later in life. But nevertheless, once you see it come to life, and the light in your life, you can look back down through and see God's hand leading the whole way through. And how it puts such a consolation in our hearts and an assurance as we see these things. But I'd like to go back to Matthew. We'll turn over to Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you wish with me. And listen, as Jesus is very familiar things we've read, but in his early part of his ministry, as he began, this was some of the first things that he began to teach. And how it does us good to keep our hearts renewed to those things, you know. And we'll just start here. I've got Matthew 6. And let's start at that 19th verse and catch what he's saying here. Matthew 6 and 19. But he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he says, the light of the body is in the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, then the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, why, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on it. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, and sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And it may seem a little strange, but as you think about this, knowing that we've been predestinated, we've been sent here for a purpose, And by God's grace, and you got to see it individually to yourself, I can see that I've been called to this. And that prize, as Paul was able to see, that he was pressing for that prize. He saw that place he needed to be, that he had been predestinated for. It, nothing else mattered to him. And you know how it is for us, as you see, as Jesus was speaking of these things, and we see this whole world seeking after every one of these things that he's mentioning here. And some, they seek it so much that they'll give up striving for the goal for which they've been sent, to stop and gather these things along the way. And they sure are not going to win a prize, and they're not going to finish the race because of everything they're trying to carry to the finish line. And how we've got to be a people that can be as Paul said, he counted all things as loss but for the Christ. And he didn't look back at the things behind him, but he always looked forward to what was laying ahead. Yes. And as we see this and think about it, and how it truly should become our sole desire, that I don't need nothing, but as long as I seek him and his will in my life, and knowing that I've been sent for his purpose, everything else that I have need of till I finish this journey, he will provide. And it'll be right there where time I in place, he'll see me through. Yes. And you know, it doesn't necessarily mean I'll have all my wants. It doesn't mean I can just have anything. But he said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and he would provide what we have need of. And what a consolation it ought to place in our hearts to see and realize in the hour in which we're living that nothing else should matter to us but one thing, just making sure that I know my name is written down in the pages of this precious word. Yeah. And looking into that mirror of God's word, I'm seeing the reflection of this life reflecting out through me. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's a grace and a gift of God to each one of us as we see these things taking place and becoming real and more real to us in our life. You know, it's just becoming more real how many people are just floating along, going to church. They're attending services, they sing, and they go through all of the motions. But their hearts are not soul-centered for the purpose for which they've been sent. And you just see people, yeah, they attend service, and they show up, and they go do their things, but the coming of the Lord's really not much in their thinking. The realization that all that we've believed and all that we've hoped for is Jesus. You know, as we look back through the scriptures, I believe it was in Matthew 13, 17, I believe is where Jesus was speaking. Let me see if I wrote that down right. 13, 17. You know, when Jesus was speaking here, as he was speaking in 13, we'll be about he was saying as he was speaking to them in parables, and I think our pastor just read this not very long ago, but Matthew 13 is the 13th verse, just to catch it. He says, "Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears of dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." But he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." But this is the verse I was getting to. "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." And oh, when we see all that was laying here, of all these examples, you go back to Genesis and you read all of these men of faith and all of God's warriors and people, yes, that fill these pages, that were looking and realizing they were seeking, knowing that day was coming, and knowing it all the way through the Old Testament, looking for that Messiah to come, and then the Messiah come, and then to begin to see the scriptures unfold, and to be able to see all that God's great plan unfolding before them. And then we stand at the very tail end. They could only see in part. They could only see a portion of that taking place. We stand here today and can look way back down through now and see that full plan unfolded. We're standing here at the day that many of these prophets were standing and looking and seeing coming. And and long to see it fulfilled. And here we stand at that great moment and the time when we see all of these things taking place. Israel's in her homeland. We see her, she's a nation. And we see all these things that have come to pass. And we can see God's word has not failed. It's one bit. It's went right in line. And it's still taking place today exactly the way God said it would. And what's that tell us? We're nearing the finish line. We're coming close to home. And how it ought to just stir our hearts. You know, and Brother Branham, because oftentimes it does seem this way. And the message, the token, this was preached November 28th, 63. Brother Branham just made a little statement. But he said, somebody said not long ago, Brother Branham, you scare the people saying the coming of the Lord is so near. And I said, they shouldn't be worried about that. They should be the most happy thing we know of, yeah? He will appear the second time to all of those that love his appearing, who love and longing for it. It's a love affair. And how we ought to love one another because we're fellow citizens in the same body. And we should have love one for another. But I want you to think about that. It is coming close and it's there. And it shouldn't scare us. It shouldn't worry us. It shouldn't put a, oh my goodness, I don't know. I'm not ready for that. But what a love should be in our hearts for the promises that are laying ahead of us. Just to think of the millennium. And then to think of all that he said would be and all that would take place. And all the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the trees changing their fruits. And you just think of all of these things. And most of all, I'll see the one who gave his life for me. And when you think of the promises and the rest and the peace and all of this that's laying over there, you know, sometimes it just is still too much of a fairy tale to too many people. The reality has not struck their heart because the reality of the rest of the word's not real to them. They fail to see and to see the revelation that is laying there of all that God has done and is doing, and to see the prophet that came on this day and brought forth the word to prepare that little bride for that final move. My, what a time we're standing in, but what a time it's got to be of people coming to that reality of seeing it come. You know, sometimes I think of these runners that run these long races. You know, there's one down around Chillicothe. It's like 150 miles. And they run it in groups of 10 people. And they run. But the first group takes off. And then it's kind of like a tag team, so to speak, as they go. But that first set of runners can't even see that finish line. They got no idea. All they can do is run to get to the next person, to tag them and keep them moving. And then they run until they get to the next person and they tag them. And you think about that down through time and look back to the scriptures. Moses came and he ran as hard as he could till it was the next person's, and he tagged on, and it just kept moving. The Holy Spirit just moving along, driving for that finish line. And here we are running the last leg of the trip. Each one of us having an opportunity to see all things finished up and to be a people that can stand here in this age of deception and deceit. And to be a people that can stand having truth girt about us and holding fast that shield of faith and seeing God finish the work that he set out to finish. Well, it ought to just stir our hearts in a greater measure how we should be a little more excited about what God is doing. Yes, there's many people going to church and the churches are hopping and they're jumping and people's running and shouting and screaming. But the heathens do too. All of this takes place, but there's a little people hunkered down all over this world where their heart is focused solely on seeing Jesus Christ made the same yesterday, today, and forever in their lives. Seeing that word come to full circle and to see it manifested and lived. Oh, they may not be well known. They may not be shouted from the housetops, but it doesn't matter. Oh, they do, you know, as Jesus said, he'd do their own alms in secret that the Heavenly Father will reward you openly. Oh my, what a day is coming that we're looking for and how it ought to just be burning in our hearts. Here, if you turn with me to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Yes. As Peter, he kind of put it into these words as he was thinking about it a little bit. Amen. It's just a wonderful time in which we live and realize that, yep, the world's looking bleak and things are taking place. People's worried about their stocks and their bonds and their money and all kinds of temporal things that are going to pass away and not mean a thing. But by God's grace, we've been left a promise. And you know, you think of Abraham, when the promise was left to him, it didn't matter. He could leave everything back, and he took off looking for what was promised him. And you know, I didn't bring it with me, but I was reading a quote where Brother Branham was talking about prayer lines. And it just struck me how even him, as he was saying, God only told Abraham one time. And he went out and he held to that for 25 years. And it seems like today you see prayer line after prayer line, and the same people just keep making the same circle. The same circle, because they're lacking the faith to hold on to what God has promised. And but may we be a people that is crying out, Lord, I don't want to be that people. And I'm using prayer line as an example, because it can go into a lot of different things if we don't get the revelation of God's precious word. It'll just be a circle and a loop and a loop and a loop, and nothing's taking place. But if we can get a revelation of this precious word that'll set these bodies on course and set us into action and moving for the Lord, you won't see a loop, but you'll see it moving right down the line, heading for that finish line. Amen. Got a little sidetracked there. Let's go over here to Peter. Amen. 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter. And I believe it was the first verse. We'll start here. But thinking of this, Peter's saying, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, and as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. How that ought to just set our souls to quivering, to be truly, do we truly desire? And I mean, a desire is a longing. We've had all of that, but how much am I truly longing just to get a hold of this precious word? Am I truly longing for it to be that real to me? Lord, give me what I need. Show me where I need to stand and make it real. Amen. Here in Colossians 3 and 2 while we're here. Let's back up just a moment here to Colossians 3 and 2. Just as Paul here in the 3rd chapter of Colossians is expressing the same thing. We'll just read a little bit of this verse to catch what he's saying. But in Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. And put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And drop down there to the 23rd verse. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Amen. And may that truly be the thing that we're looking for. We've seen the path we've trod. We've laid all of this aside. And as Paul has said there, you know, we used to walk in that. We've put it aside. Now let us put on as the elect of God, holy, all these things that he said. Do we truly strive to, are we monitoring our lives and weighing ourselves daily to see that we match up to these scriptures as we're finishing our journey? Oh my, it ought to truly be burning in our hearts. While we're at it, let's go to Hebrews real quick. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Amen. I didn't write this one down. It just kind of hit my mind. Let's see here. I think it's the fourth chapter. Amen. I didn't. That's not the right one. I'm sorry. Amen. But it was where Paul was saying, let us lay aside every weight. Here we go. I missed it. But you know where Paul was saying. He said, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which easily besets us. Yeah. And let us run with patience this race that's set before us. And how it ought to just strike our hearts greater measure. You know, people, as time goes on, you can just see more and more the divisions and the arguing and the fussing and those that just gather around the critics, so to speak, to try to find that one thing or to find a quote, to find a scripture that they can twist, they can argue, they can bend, they can dispute it in some way and just try to every little thing they can just to cause disruption and confusion is all it does. It's Satan. And that's, as we get so close to the end of the race, you can see why that's happening. That's his last, it's all he has, is to try to divert us, to scare us and to pull us aside and to disperse us from that course. Yes. But may we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Yes. And keeping our attention focused on where we're going.
Sure.
In the message, this was in the message of Thinking Man's Filter. And as you think about our desires and seeing Paul's, you can see Paul's desire and Peter's hand desire, the sincere milk of the word. And in the Thinking Man's Filter, Brother Branham, as he kind of, on paragraph 163, half of paragraph 162, he started as he said, now I want to ask you something out in the lands. We're going to close in a few minutes. He says, but now let us all tonight check our desires, and then you can see what kind of filter you've been drawing through. Let's check each one of us here and out across the nation. Check your desires, what you want really in life. Check what you're fighting for. Check what you're here for. Check what you go to church for. What makes you? It's good to go to church. Just don't go to church only. That won't save you. Just check a few minutes is my objective. What kind of a filter am I drawing through anyhow? And if you won't cope with the Word of God, your soul don't do it, then there's something wrong. For it shows up your taste, that life, and what kind of life is in you. It's a holy, discreet, honorable. It'll come out that way. If it isn't, you've got another taste in you you're drawing from. That's exactly right. And if the taste is the Word of God and the will of God, then you know what's in you and what's drawing the taste. It shows you're part of that Word. The Word is in you drawing from the Word. And what's it's drawing? It's drawing through the Word because you're part of the body of Christ of this age. And if that Word is in you, it can only draw through the Word. The Spirit that quickens that Word that's in you, just the Word alone won't live. That's the reason. All the Father has given me will come to me. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. See, the Father, the part of the body of Christ that's in the world, predestinated and put into the heart. And I want you to think about that as you can see where we've come from, each one of us. And we've each one got to think for ourselves. I can't speak for you. You can't speak for me. But there was a time when what we were drawing from was not drawing through the Word of God. And it just caused you to be uneasy. You may not have understood what was going on, but down inside it was turmoil. You could just feel the unsatisfaction. You just knew it didn't fit. It didn't match up. Something was wrong. And at a certain time, the Holy Spirit moved to show you and lead you into a path and to guide you to a place to where you could see why that was. And then you begin to, through revelation, to begin to realize that, oh, you can only draw through that true filter, that predestinated seed. And Brother Branham goes on here now, just to catch this next part, as he says, it's predestinated, put it at that heart. And any man that's a real Christian, born again today, knows since he was a little kid or a little girl, either there was something in you that hungered for God. And you tried joining churches and everything else, and it wouldn't work. What was it? It was that word. Amen. You was hunting for a filter, and one day it flashed before you, and you seen Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that satisfied the taste. Amen. And you know, Ike, you can't explain that to people. People may want to argue and they want to go back and forth, but there's something down in that predestinated heart that just says, there's only one thing I want, and that's that pure word, just the way that it came. Cut the hide off my back. Tell me where, show me where I'm wrong. May step on my toe, but it can't be helped. That little seed down inside us can only draw through that pure word of life. It's predestinated, and by God's grace, that's the only thing that you know will see you through to the end. And it's just amazing to think about how, you know, it's like I said, when you're going through things, you're facing trials, you face tests, life may seem like it's falling apart, things are happening on this side, things are happening on that side. At the time you're in it, you may not be able to see the full picture of what's happening. All you can do is raise your hands and say, Lord, give me the strength to go through this situation. But when you come out of that situation and can look back and see where God has brought you from and the strength that will put in you for this journey ahead to finish that last leg. You know, to a runner, it might be a fresh Gatorade they get along the way or some energy drink that they've made to put strength back in their muscles or to keep their legs from cramping to finish that race. That's what God's word is to us in the spiritual realm. Every service, it's new vitamins, new minerals, breathing new life into us to keep us pressing, to keep us moving, to finish the race and the course we've been set forth on. And oh my, may it truly be joyous to us, not a burden. I gotta hear the word, I gotta go to church today, I gotta do this. It doesn't matter how long you have to work, it doesn't matter what you're having to go through, to know that this is the only source of strength that I know of. It don't matter how tired you are, how weak you may be, but if you can get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, whether it be in this building or even if you're at home and maybe work slap out, to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit and to feel it come down on you, it's the most refreshing thing you ever feel. You might be lonely, you might be feeling something, you know, might be heavy trials, it doesn't matter. Get into a prayer closet and let the Holy Spirit come and anoint, send that down in there. Oh, it'll rejuvenate you like nothing else. There's no vitamin in the land that can breathe that into you like the Holy Spirit can. And oh my, he's ever present. He's always there. You know, sometimes you see so many people, I'm probably going to be guilty once in a while, saying, let me grab a cup of coffee, wake myself up a little bit. But oh my, what a jolt of lightning it'll put through you to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And oh my, he is ever present and never runs dry. It's boundless. And oh my, may we truly take advantage of the blessings that he has for us and given us.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll save that for another day. It'll fit another time. Amen. Let me see here. Glory to his name. Here. Yes. Amen. But here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, Paul was speaking, 22nd verse. But let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And oh my, it's just amazing how he slid this in here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see that day approaching. Amen. You know, sometimes it may seem like, oh, it's just a little Thursday night, and oh, there's not going to be many of us there. And but where two or three are gathered in my name. And if you come expecting, you'll get out of a service what you put in it. Amen. And how we ought to come every service expecting. And God can replenish and refill. He can meet every need you have. And oh my, may he rejuvenate us to the place to give us the strength that let's run this last mile and finish this race. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Give your legs a break. But oh my, it's so wonderful to see what God is doing and where he's brought us from. and where he's taking us to. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a song? It seems like I didn't write one down tonight. I don't have one. Amen. I can think of a lot of things, but I don't know if anybody might know them. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I'm so glad the Lord has brought me out. Amen. When you can see where you were and the sin and the muck and the mire and know that he's lifted you up. Oh, what a joy and what a place in your heart. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, amen, hallelujah. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
Child growing up, and some of the things Brother Timothy was talking about brought my mind back again to, but like I say, you get older, you think of things, and but I just was thinking about my journey, you know, from the time I was born, and, you know, as I began to get old enough to start thinking a little bit on my own, and can see God's work in my life, and his direction, and, you know, just his hand of protection. Like I say, you know, I was thinking, I don't know why, but I was thinking the other day about the time when I was just a little lad. You know, I was probably about 6 years old, somewhere around there. And we lived up in Oroville, out there going towards Straysville, on top of the hill there. And we wasn't, as kids, we wasn't allowed to get down on the road, you know, like I told you just before. But it just made me think about it again. And just from there, just continuing through God's hand. But I'd gotten on 93 and walking down, because they had the church down there. And back in, it kind of started out Pentecostal and just moving into the message. And my daddy was just going at that time. And mother would keep us kids home. And I wanted to be in church so bad, you know, even at that age. Because we went to Pentecostal church when it was, I think we quit there around 6 years old, about 6 years old. And there was a short time there that we didn't go to church. And then I remember walking, it happened three or four times, walking down on that highway. And of course, the houses that used to be there is not there no more. And there was that post on that porch, that house real close to the road. Because when they built them houses, there were still Model Ts and stuff. So, I mean, you could stand on the edge of the highway, reach like this, and touch the post. And I don't know what it was, but, well, I do know what it was. But, you know, I can remember then two, three times, four times, how God would save me from getting hit in the car. And it just seemed like something was trying to draw me out there. It was so strange. It's hard to explain. It's almost like somebody's pushing you. I believe it was Satan trying to kill me even back then. And I remember I would reach for that post and I would pull myself just before the car would get to me, pull myself off that highway. And, you
I think about that, I think, you know, there's an old tie post, you know. And though I go maybe a few weeks, try it again. Because I wanted to go down to that church, and I would. I'd make it down there still. Sometimes it was driving me so much, I'd sit on the front porch, and they wouldn't even know I was there. It was an old building, an old store building. And I'd sit on the front porch of an old store building, and I'd sit out there and listen. Here it was getting close to the end of the service. I'd jump off that porch and take off running for the house, you know. And, you know, just from them times on, you know, I think, and before that, down the Pentecostal church, the experience that God did in my heart, and then to see the many times that Satan has tried to kill me and destroy me. You know, I could sit here a long time and I could take experiences that probably my family don't know. But, you know, because I just feel it's not really a benefit to them, it's a benefit to me. But, you know, I can see God's hand on me, and God directed me and guided me. A strange life? Absolutely, a strange life. But it's brought me to where I'm at now. And, you know, I see God's mercy and grace in my life. So when we talk about God's mercy and grace, I can really see grace, mercy in my life. You know, it's His love. Him. Maybe that's why I appreciate Him so much. I don't know. But I love Him. I'm so thankful. I trust each and every one of you can have the experience of really, really understanding His amazing grace. His love for you. Yes. Because His love is amazing that He has for you. And all He asks is give your life back to Him. Surrender all. First the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Amen. I thank God for His love for me. Do you feel the same? Amen. I'm sure you do. So thankful you could be here tonight. Just if the Lord tarries, waiting for something already. We'll see what the Lord has for us if He tarries. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, I could stand here a long time tonight and just share little experiences and things, Lord, that has happened in my life. And I'm sure that each one of these people can do the same thing and different things that's happened in their life. And I can see You in control when times we thought You wasn't in control. And times, Lord, we thought, yet, Lord, the Scripture always holds true. The footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. And, Lord, how true that is. So we ask that You would just, now as we leave this little place, Father, and these things in our heart, our brother presented to us, and renewed our minds back to, that we leave here, Lord, with it in our hearts. And, Father, be drawn closer to You. And, Father, to truly be the vitamins and minerals from it tonight would be of strength to us and cause us to grow so more tonight. We appreciate You now, Father. Just so in love with You. So thankful for all that You do. And we're so thankful, Lord. We serve the living God. We serve a God, Lord, and we serve the One that can forgive us of our sins, of our trespasses. Lord, and don't hold it against us. And Father, You put it in the sea of Your forgiveness. It's all washed away. And it gives us a fresh start every moment, Lord. I'm here to do Thy will, oh God. Thank You for Your love. Now, watch over us, keep us safe as we travel. And Father, may You just keep the unity of the Holy Spirit in this little place. Hold us together. Keep our little bride moving on for You. Get us ready for a rapture. We ask it through the name of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother George wanted to make sure we remembered him in prayer because he's going into Mexico, flying into Mexico. And, you know, got an idea why he would want to really remember in prayer going into Mexico. And I'm glad it's not me. But pray God, just ask God to bless him, keep him safe, and bring him back to us whenever the Lord leads him to bring him back to us. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed.